I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. right here on the WGN Radio Theater. On the greatest radio station on the planet, AM 720, reaching about 38 states across the country, plus parts of Canada, is the smiley voice of Lisa Wolf to my right. What's up, Lisa? How
Hi,
are you?
Carl. I get excited every time we walk in the studio.
I know.
You know,
there's it's like a dream come true.
A glow here.
Yeah, we have Shante Garth in the booth. She's the best in the biz, our producer. And tonight, it's Mother's Day tomorrow, so we're celebrating with three Mother's Day programs. You know, you're a mother.
Yes, I am. Four times over.
Yes, you are.
Yes,
I am. You know, Lisa needed a hobby back then, but she didn't find one, so she decided to have children.
Well, there's a lot of mothers who are going to not like what you just said.
No, it's, what do you mean not like? I think it's great.
Well, no, the part about not being able to find another hobby. It's not a hobby, but it's a great
job. You have four. I have three. Well, you know what? We have three great classic radio shows all about Mother's Day. In fact, the first one is Our Miss Brooks from 1951, then Dragnet, and then Box 13 with Alan Ladd. All of it brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film The Book of Henry about an 11-year-old boy and his younger brother who are being raised by their single mother.
All right, what do they win?
Oh, the greatest thing.
What?
$25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's
Pizza.
That's
the greatest thing?
Yes.
It's up there for
sure.
It's
way up there.
I'd rather have $1 million.
Yeah, but this is pretty darn good.
Okay.
Okay.
So the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played the title character in 2013's Diana.
Yes. When I visit hospitals, I get excited. I feel like I can make a contribution.
All right. Who is that great actress?
And we're back. This is show 179 of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Yes. When I visit hospitals, I get excited. I feel like I can make a contribution.
And we've got Jim on the line. Hey, Jim.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Yay, I'm ready for you. Who's that actress?
Her name is Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts is exactly right. And I hope you're ready for a great pizza from Lou Malnati's.
I'm ready. We got a new pizza place right over here in Midway Airport around 65th and Cicero.
Perfect.
And, it just opened, so we love the pizza.
Oh, good. Well, you've got a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, especially the one by Midway Airport, or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much for calling, Jim.
Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Thank you, sir. All right. It's time for our first of three Mother's Day classic radio shows, Lisa. It's Our Miss Brooks. It was a situation comedy series heard on CBS. Came to radio in 1948, and Eve Arden starred as ninth grade English teacher Connie Brooks. She worked at Madison High School, and her principal was Principal Osgood Conklin, played by Gail Gordon.
Of course, Mr.
Gail
Mooney.
Gail Gordon, right. Richard Crenna played Walter Denton. You know, he did it like that because he was like a grown man when he was doing the show,
yeah.
Practically. Jeff Chandler. Deep voice Jeff Chandler played bashful biology teacher Philip Boynton. And this whole cast, except for Jeff Chandler, made the transition to television. Jeff Chandler, I think, may have already passed away. He died very young. A different guy played him on television. I can't think what his name. Bob Rockwell, I think his name was. But this whole cast made the transition in 1952 to television. But we have a radio episode for you now. It's called Bargain Hats for Mother's Day. It's from May 13th, 1951, part one now of Our Miss Brooks.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay
and Palmolive Shave Creams for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, in the daily life of Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, teaching itself only takes up a portion of her time. This leaves a number of free hours each day to pursue an outside interest.
But it doesn't leave quite enough free hours, especially since my outside interest refuses to stand still long enough for me to drop a net over him. In fact, lately, I've even considered taking up another outside activity besides Mr. Boynton. Like the one my landlady began recently. Mrs. Davis was quite reticent about her hobby until last Wednesday morning at breakfast, when she gave me a broad hint.
Notice anything different about the table this morning, Connie?
Well, the big catsup stain in front of my place is gone.
It's under your egg cup, dear. Yes, again.
Oh, of course. The big bowl of apples in the center. What a delicious display.
I'm glad you like it, Connie. It's a hat.
Who designed it, William Tell?
No, I did. You probably don't know this, but years ago, I used to design hats like mad.
Why, you mad hatter, you. I never would have suspected. You seem so normal in some other respects.
Well, I haven't had the yen in years, but last week my brother Victor sent me some samples of the material his firm makes, and you know my brother Victor, don't you?
I've heard you speak of him quite often.
He's a peculiar man, Victor. Rather a slow-moving type of fellow, but once he gets interested in something, he follows right through. The last couple of years, he's been up to his ears in plastics.
No wonder he's slow-moving. But what has plastic got to do with your designing hats again?
That's what they're made of. I'll bet you never even noticed that this is really two hats in one.
Two in one?
Yes. Worn this way, it looks like a bowl of apples. But when you turn it around like this, it's a sparrow.
What a novel idea. If you're out with a man you like, you tempt him with an apple. And if your date is a drip, he gets the bird.
I've got four of them all made up so far. They should be easy to sell with Mother's Day coming this Sunday.
Well, I don't know, Mrs. Davis. They're a bit unusual for popular consumption, I'm afraid.
Not if they're presented right, Connie. And that's where you come in. I want you to help me sell them at school.
Me?
Yes. If you sell all four of them, I'll deduct half of the back rent you owe me.
Oh.
And it shouldn't be difficult to sell them. It isn't as if they were hard to move.
Not if the wind is right. Of course, if I could reduce my debt to you, that... Oh, that must be Walter Denton. He's driving me down to school. Come on in, Walter.
Try to sell him one for his mother, Connie. I'll get into the kitchen and rustle up some goodies for Walter's inner man.
Better get some for his outer man, too.
Greetings to the brightest star in the scholastic firmament.
It's a little early for me to twinkle, Walter, but sit down. You're going to have a bit of breakfast with us, aren't you?
Well, I might be persuaded to partake of a wee morsel if you coax me.
And if I don't coax you?
You couldn't be that cruel.
Then what'll it be? French toast? Eggs? Griddle cake?
Fine.
Mrs. Davis?
Yes, Connie?
Walter's here. Vacuum the kitchen and bring in the bag.
I was cooking up a giant omelet for him, dear.
He's the little giant that can eat it.
You know, I don't know what's happening at home, but my mother just doesn't seem to be making the breakfast she used to.
Well, maybe she's just worn out.
Well, she does cook an awful lot of meals for us.
Of course she does, Walter. And while we're on the subject, how much thought have you given to her Mother's Day gift?
Oh, quite a bit. And I've come up with something that should show her how grateful I am for all she's done for me. I'm going to get her a present that'll make her forget the many menial and arduous tasks she performs in my behalf.
What's the present?
A bottle of sweet air for the kitchen. What do you think of the idea, Miss Brooks?
It smells. I mean, it smells very pleasant.
Of course, I'd like to get her something else, too, but on my allowance, unless my dad chips in, I couldn't afford much.
Walter, I have a suggestion for a gift that your dad will be happy to chip in for. Just look at the center of this table.
Holy cow, is it alive?
Certainly not. It happens to be a woman's hat.
A woman's hat? You're joking, of course.
Joking nothing. I'm wearing it to school this morning.
Say, that'd make a wonderful decoration for our dining room table at home. Mother always likes to have something gay and colorful in the center of the table.
That's what I say. It would make a wonderful decoration for your dining room table at home.
Wait up a minute, Miss Brooks.
Who's that?
It's me, Tex Barton. Howdy, ma'am.
Howdy, Tex.
You seem in a hurry, ma'am. Why, when I flagged you, you was barreling across this campus like a doggie that just smelled a branding iron.
Well, it's not that bad. Although I do have to see Mr. Conklin before class.
Well, I... Glory be to Sam Houston.
And hallelujah to Dave Dallas. What's up?
Miss Brooks, have you any idea of the activity that's going on up there in the upper regions of your anatomy?
What?
Skin me for a lizard if there ain't a sparrow eating apples off in your skull.
Oh, now, calm down, Tex. This is just a new style of hat.
A hat? Well, you could have fooled me.
By the way, Mother's Day is just around the corner. Have you decided on a gift for your mother yet?
I've been thinking a lot about that, Miss Brooks, but it's kind of tough to figure out what it'd please, Mom.
Maybe I can help you.
I doubt it, ma'am. For Christmas, Pa and I got her some brand new riding boots and stirrups. For her birthday, we got her a pair of chaps and a Stetson. And for Easter, we decked her out in a spanking new box of saddle soap. So, you see, she's got just about everything a normal woman needs.
A normal woman who's competing in a rodeo, you mean. Look, Tex, a hat like the one I'm wearing would make a lovely gift, and it's only $10.
It sure is flashy, Miss Brooks. Pa and I could afford that much, but there's a couple of things that have to be done to it first.
For instance?
Well, do you think you could make two holes in it?
Holes?
Yeah, So her ears could come through.
Ears could come through. Tex, your mother must have a very low forehead.
Well, I wouldn't give it to my mother, Miss Brooks. I'd just be getting it for my mother to give to Lucy.
Lucy?
She's our horse. She sure will look beautiful in it.
I'm sure she will, Tex. You can pick up the hat at Mrs. Davis's today.
Today? When would be a good time, ma'am?
The same time you leave the $10.
Daddy, please be reasonable. There isn't time for me to pick out your Mother's Day gift.
I didn't ask you into my office to argue, Harriet. I should think you'd want to see your mother receive a nice present.
I do, Daddy, and I'm getting her one with most of my allowance. But your gift to her is something else again. She always expects something outstanding.
Well, obviously, my dear, she married me, didn't she?
Yes, but about other things, she's pretty particular. I mean, well, I wouldn't mind selecting something for you, but you always insist that I find a bargain.
There's nothing wrong with being frugal, Harriet. It's a bit... Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin. Hello, Harriet.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Miss... Good grief! Something has alighted on your hair.
But, Mr. Conklin...
Don't stand there, Harriet. Get a net. Maybe we can trap it for our nature study group.
It happens to be a hat, Mr. Conklin.
It's very exciting, Miss Brooks. Now, if you'll excuse me, Daddy.
Very well, but I'll talk to you later, Miss Important.
Bye, Miss Brooks.
Mr. Conklin, knowing how fond of brevity you are, I'll come right to the point of my visit. Sunday is Mother's Day. How would you like to buy a hat like this for Mrs. Conklin?
For Mrs. Conklin?
Yes, don't you think she deserves something like this?
Well, she has been a source of great irritation on occasion. No, I'm not interested, Miss Brooks.
If I can sell one of these hats, it will help get me out of debt, Mr. Conklin. Besides, it's a real bargain.
I'm sorry, I'm definitely not in... Did you say a bargain, Miss Brooks?
Yes, sir. Much cheaper than you can get it on the open market.
Where did you get it?
Let's just say I have access, Mr. Conklin.
These hats aren't hot, are they?
Hottest thing in town. Oh, you mean stolen? No, sir, they're not stolen. Although you could call them a steal at $10 each.
$10? For a few apples and a small sparrow?
It's evident, Mr. Conklin, that you haven't heard how meat and fruit have gone up. But think of how exclusive this hat is.
Well, for my wife, it would have to be, Miss Brooks. She has an absolute fanatic approach and on individualized apparel. She wouldn't be caught dead in anything that even resembled what someone else was wearing.
Mr. Conklin, when it comes to this hat, I give you my unqualified guarantee.
You do?
Absolutely. Believe me, she won't be caught dead in it.
That's the first portion of our Miss Brooks, a good Mother's Day show from 1951. We'll get back to it in just a moment. Someone did text in and say that Jeff Chandler passed away in 1961, was it?
Right. He wrote that he was in several movies. Oh, that was a different... it's in 1961 at age 42.
Yeah, he died very young. I think what happened was he didn't do the television show because he was... a big movie star. I mean, he was doing all kinds of movies and things.
Right.
And then he passed away on the operating table, something under on surgery. But he'll be heard as Philip Boynton in this radio show, Jeff Chandler. And on radio, he did a lot of radio. He was Michael Shane for a while on radio and then did a lot of supporting stuff on Suspense and Escape and things like that. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back. 11:35, and this is the WGN Radio Theater. And you know why I know that? Because Bill Curtis just said it was. And I believe everything Bill Curtis says.
You know, when he speaks, I listen.
Right.
So,
he has one of those kind of voices where it's like he commands authority.
Well, I think Bob Kessler has one of those kind of voices, too.
I absolutely agree. How
Except
you doing?
When I belch on the air like I just did as I was saying mine. Did you catch that?
You know, I did not. I was listening
there
for
was
it,
a
too.
Slight,
but here's the thing, Bob. We're all human. We're all human. We all belch.
Yes, we do.
So
some more than
totally
others.
Totally fine.
I wasn't doing one of those like middle school boy, you know, walk into the room and
well,
look
it's good you pointed it out to all of us. That didn't pick up on that, though.
You think that's bad? You should see the things Lisa does down
what?
Here.
He's kidding.
I mean, that's nothing. That is like G-rated compared to what Lisa does.
What do I do down here?
Oh, my gosh. She snores like worse than a lumberjack.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
When these classic radio shows, about 1 o'clock in the morning, these classic radio shows are on, you should hear her snoring like a lumberjack. Right, Shante? I mean,
she's not going to lie on the air. Only off the air.
You're not waiting to see if, you know, who did it? And
I
Perry
am.
Mason and, you know,
of course yeah, I right. am.
Perry Mason,
Jack
Lisa.
Webb get his guy.
That's right. Right. Well, exactly.
Jack Webb's coming up a little later in this in the show, Good Mother's Day program. It's good to see you, Bob.
Thank you. You too.
Kind of
right.
see you up in the little
no,
square
we see,
up there.
We see him up there. All right. Well, it is time for the conclusion of our Miss Brooks.
By the time I was to meet Mr. Boynton at lunch, I had sold 3 of the 4 hats Mrs. Davis had made up. One to Walter Denton for his mother to be used as a table centerpiece, one to Tex Barton for his horse to be used as an eye shade, and one to Mr. Conklin for his wife to be used, of all things, as a hat. I had the sample hat on when Mr. Boynton came over to our table.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Sorry I'm late. I couldn't get here any sooner.
That's all right, Mr. Boynton. Put down your tray.
Thank you.
Notice anything different about me today?
Different? Let's see. Well, for heaven's sake, I apologize for being late. You oughtn't to go to such lengths to chide me about it.
To chide you?
Well, yes, after all, this is a public eating place. You shouldn't balance your dessert on your head.
Dessert? Mr. Boynton, this happens to be a hat.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I'm afraid I dropped my cutlery.
You should be more careful, Mr. Boynton. That knife might have dented your meatloaf. Oh, I'm sorry I frightened you so.
Oh, I should be used to sights like this. When I was a kid, my mother always had some fantastic creations around the house.
Really? How many brothers and sisters did you have? Well, may I remind you, Mr. Boynton, that Mother's Day will soon be with us?
Well, so will my mother. Yes, she's coming down this afternoon to stay through the weekend. Unfortunately, Dad has to stay home on business, but Mom and I are going to have a high old time.
Have you made all of your plans for celebrating the holiday, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, indeed. Oh, it's going to be one mad world for the both of us. I've got a 4-day itinerary all mapped out.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Well, on Thursday, I thought I'd show Mom the new wing of our public library. Friday, we'll do the Museum of Natural History, and Saturday, we'll have a go at the Botanical Gardens.
Wow!
Well, there's not going to be any let-up in the evenings, either. If we're not playing chess or checkers, I'll whip out the old domino set. By the way, can you think of anything that might add to the merriment, Miss Brooks?
Yes, but I think the morgue is closed on weekends. That is, I do have a suggestion that might be quite a surprise for your mother.
Oh, what is it?
Why don't you get her a nice hat? You said yourself that she used to like unique hats.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I'm not interested.
Oh, that's too bad, Mr. Boynton. It's a real bargain.
Well, I'd like to get her something, of course, but this is just out of... Did you say a bargain?
Never misses.
Where did you get the hat, Miss Brooks?
The truth is, I'm disposing of them for Mrs. Davis. They're only $10 apiece.
$10 apiece?
Get your jaw out of the potatoes, and I'll make it...
I guess we could arrive at some sort of a deal, Miss Brooks, but there's one thing of which I must be certain.
What's that?
Well, that my mother doesn't see any other woman wearing a hat like it. Mom's a fanatic on individualized apparel.
I'll sell her the very one I'm modeling today, Mr. Boynton. Bring her over to my place about 8:30 tonight, and we'll surprise her with it.
All right, but you're sure now that she'll be the only woman to have this particular hat?
While she's in town, your mother will be the only woman seen wearing this particular hat.
Good. I'm going to get myself some dessert now, Miss Brooks. Would you like me to bring something back for you?
Yes, I would, Mr. Boynton. I'd like a Coke. The 5-cent size will do.
Very well.
That's all I want right now, Mr. Boynton.
Okay.
Oh, here.
Just be a minute, Miss Brooks.
Take your time, Sporty. Somebody's got to teach him that money isn't everything, especially my money. Oh, well.
Hello, Miss Brooks. I thought I'd find you here. May I speak with you for a moment?
Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you, thank you. Now, about that hat I agreed to buy for my wife, I want it to be a complete surprise. She mustn't see it until Sunday.
I'll say she mustn't. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise if she did.
Now, there's one important factor we overlooked in our discussion this morning, Miss Brooks. I neglected to give you my wife's measurements.
Well, I'll take them right now. How far apart are your wife's ears?
How far apart are her ears?
Sorry, that was another customer. What is her head size?
Well, I don't know, but I'll find out this afternoon and check with you at home this evening. What would be a good time?
After midnight. That is, any time, sir, any time at all. Now, you must have many more important things to do, and I'll be happy to excuse you, sir, if you really have to dash away. I know how those things are. I've had things to do myself. I'm expecting someone...
Mr. Brooks, I don't quite comprehend this conversational St. Vitus dance you're indulging in. But if you're always this nervous during mealtime, it's a wonder you haven't got an ulcer.
Oh, I had an ulcer, Mr. Conklin. I had a nice big one 2 years after I began teaching school.
You did? How did you get rid of it?
I just couldn't afford to keep it.
I don't know what you're so jittery about, Connie. Everything's gone swimmingly so far. Walter Denton picked up the hat for his mother during lunch period.
I know, Mrs. Davis.
And Tex Barton came over right after school to get the specially prepared one you phoned me about. My goodness, but his mother must have long ears.
You ought to see his mother's mane. I mean, those aren't the ones I'm jittery about. It's Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton. I promised them both that they were buying a completely original creation.
Well, they are that, Connie. The fact that they're identical shouldn't bother you. After all, Mrs. Boynton will be leaving town right after Mother's Day.
Yes, but Mr. Boynton's bringing her here tonight to pick it up, and Mr. Conklin will want his wife's hat as soon as he gives me her measurements. But if he runs into Mrs. Boynton anywhere before Sunday...
Now, calm down, dear, calm down. When do you expect the Boynton?
Now! Now.
Well, I'll go make some tea and you let them in. Mrs. Boynton's hat is right on the hall table, Connie.
Thanks.
Well, here we are, Miss Brooks. You remember my mother.
I'll never forget her. Hello, Mrs. Boynton. Come in for a second.
How are you, Connie? It's been ages since I've seen you.
Oh, Mom couldn't wait to see your surprise, Miss Brooks.
Oh, then I'll get it for her right away. Meanwhile, just help yourself to some fruit on this hall table. That is, as soon as the sparrow gets through helping himself. That is, here's your new hat. How do you like it?
Well, it's certainly different.
Oh, I knew you'd love it. Well, now that you've seen it, I don't want to keep you and Mr. Boynton another minute. You must have lots to talk over, so don't stand on ceremonies. Just toddle right along, and I'll see you later in the week. Bye!
We're really in no great rush, Miss Brooks.
As a matter of fact, Philip suggested that we might spend the evening with you.
Oops!
I told Mom you'd jump at the idea.
I thought we'd play a few games of checkers, Connie. I'll never forget how exciting it was the last time we played. There was one crowning after another.
You ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm afraid I can't ask you to stay for checkers, Mrs. Boynton. Mrs. Davis has a splitting headache.
But, Miss Brooks, how could a game of checkers disturb Mrs. Davis?
Please, Mr. Boynton, if you were lying down with a headache, how would you like to hear someone constantly jumping in the next room? Now, you'll just excuse me.
That's the doorbell, isn't it? Maybe Miss Brooks has another engagement, Philip. Perhaps we'd better be leaving.
I wouldn't think of letting you budge from this house. Mr. Boynton, I insist that you take your mother into the living room and let her try on her checkerboard, a fruit bowl. Here, take it with you, dear. There's a wonderful mirror near the piano.
Well, if you're sure.
Never been surer. Go along, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, very well. It's right this way, Mother.
Miss Brooks?
Walter, what are you doing here? It's 12 hours until breakfast.
I have to bring the hat back, Miss Brooks. Aren't you going to ask me in?
Not if I can help it.
Well, only be a minute. It's important.
All right, but please hurry. What's the trouble, Walter?
Well, I showed my dad this hat you sold us for a centerpiece, Miss Brooks.
And he didn't like it?
No, he's crazy about it. But he wants a slight change made. He says if you'll wire it up so we can use it as a lamp, he'll give you an extra $3.
If he'll make it $5, I'll put in a motor and he can drive it to work. Please, Walter, get into the dining room immediately. Take the hat with you, quick.
Yeah, but Mr.
I'll explain later. Get going.
Okay, but I wish I knew what was happening around here.
Good evening, Miss Brooks. Well, I've got my wife's head measurements on this sheet of paper.
Thanks, Mr. Conklin. Good night.
Just a moment. There are a few things I have to tell you.
Yes, sir. Come in.
Thank you. I got these measurements from the milliner with whom my wife does quite a large business.
Mom would like a drink of water. Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, hello, Roger.
Well, I'll get it myself if you just tell me. Oh, I didn't know someone was with you, Connie.
Oh, there isn't. It's just Mr. Conklin. This is Mrs. Boynton, Mr. Conklin.
How do you do, Miss? What is she doing with my wife's hat on her head?
Your wife's hat, Mr. Conklin?
Philip, you didn't buy me the same hat Mr. Conklin bought for his wife, did you?
Oh, I didn't intend to, Mother. Miss Brooks, what seems to have happened?
Shouldn't happen to a sparrow. Look, folks, there's been a slight mix-up, but I'm sure it'll come out all right by Mother's Day. After all, there are only two of you wearing the hats, and you won't be seen together anyplace.
Well, that's true enough.
You do have a point there.
There's no air in that dining room, Miss Brooks. I didn't know you had company.
Oh, this is Walter Denton, one of our pupils, Mother. Walter, this is my mother.
Glad to know you, Walter.
Same here, Mrs. Boynton. Say, what are you doing with my mother's centerpiece on your head?
Your mother's centerpiece, Denton?
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. Yeah, my dad and I are going to have it changed into a lamp before we give it to her, though. See, we'll put the wire right through here, and then we'll take...
So, Miss Brooks, my wife and Mrs. Boynton are the only two people with these original creations. I'd give a lot to know just who else is wearing these assembly line specials.
Oh, dear. Who is it?
What is that?
It sounded like a horse.
That's just what it is, our milkman's horse. You see, the milkman is sick, so the horse is making the rounds alone. Green today, Lucy. She's very clever.
She must be, to ring the doorbell by herself. Miss Brooks, open the door.
Yes, sir.
Howdy, Miss Brooks. Lucy and I were just eloping by, so I thought I'd show you how nice she looks in her new bonnet.
But, Tetch, you shouldn't have brought her right up to the front door like this.
What is going on here? Why is this beast sticking her head...
Mean they got the same hat she sold me for Lucy, Miss Brooks?
Yes, Tex, but it's...
Shucks, if I'd have known that, I'd have never bought it. Lucy's a fanatic
on individualized apparel, I know.
Miss Brooks, just what do you propose to do about these hats?
I'm going to take them out to our backyard and put them up in a tree.
A tree?
Yes, these hats are strictly for the birds.
Once again, here is Eve Arden.
What would you do to protect your family and yourself in case of a sudden atom bomb attack? It may never happen, but it could. Remember, you can survive an atom bomb attack if you know what to do. Get a copy of the official air raid instructions from your local civil defense organization. Or write to Superintendent of Documents, Washington, D.C., enclosing 5 cents in coin or stamps. Learn the instructions by heart, and see that everyone in your family does, too. Be smart. Be prepared.
This is Burns Smith reminding you to tune in next week for another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis and Arthur Allsberg, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Our
Miss Brooks came to you transcribed.
Well, if you want to survive an atom bomb attack, Lisa, you just, all you do is you crawl under your desk, you know?
Is that going
to do
it?
What they used to do in the schools, remember?
No.
Back in those days, you know, there was a lot of scare about, you know, atom bombs. We had, we had dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, atom bombs. And this is 1951, so that was, you know, 5 years prior, 6 years prior. We dropped them in 1945. So there was a lot of nervousness about the atom bomb. That was a big deal. And they used to have these drills in school. And what they would say is, okay, air raid, you know, the air raid siren, go off.
I just remember lining up against the lockers.
Well, what they would do with the kids is say, all right, everybody under your desk.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
These kids would get under their desk. Like, that's going to really help you.
Well,
but
I was listening to the Colgate tooth cream. I was hoping that you heard that one.
I think it was more of a psychological thing. Like, okay, we're prepared.
Don't worry,
folks.
Yeah.
There's an atom bomb attack. No big deal. You have your umbrella.
Right.
You know, it's one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's Our Miss Brooks from May 13th, 1951. Bargain Hats for Mother's Day. Eve Arden in her signature role of Connie Brooks. Hope you enjoy that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's much more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Bob Kessler. Appreciate you very much. It is 12:07. And it's Mother's Day, officially. Happy Mother's Day, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to your mom and to my mom and to all the moms out there. It's a tough job being a mom.
I'm aware of that.
You know, I can attest to that being a dad.
Yes.
I know
how hard it is. Your day will come.
Yeah. That's right. In June, right? Sometime in June, I think, is Father's Day.
It's about a second weekend of June.
Yeah. All right. In this hour, we have a great episode of Dragnet starring Jack Webb. And then in our 1 to 2 a.m. hour, it's Box 13 starring Alan Ladd. Two Mother's Day programs. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Maudie, about the life of Canadian artist Maude Lewis.
All right. What do they win?
They win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Wow. Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
wow.
Good.
That means Stacey Keach is the host.
He certainly is.
Probably Lisa Wolf is one of the supporting players in one of those shows. All right. So here's a hint. This guy is the star of 2016's In the Valley of Violence.
You talk too much, whoever you are.
All right, who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you know who that is and win some Twilight Zone CDs. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You talk too much. Whoever you are.
I picked this because of you, Lisa.
Because I talk too much? Oh, you're just looking in the mirror, aren't you? we took a caller offline, Mark from Buffalo Grove, knew the right answer. It was Ethan Hawke, of course. And he is a winner. He's won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set, which is hosted by Mr. Stacey Keach, produced by Mr. Carl Amari. And I love the Twilight Zone.
Well, thanks,
always have, Lisa. Always will. So
it's,
congratulations to Mark.
A lot of fun producing them.
I know.
All right. Well, it's time now for Dragnet. It was a police procedural. Came to radio in 1949. Lasted all the way, Lisa, to 1957 on the radio. 9 seasons. And these were true crime stories of closed cases. The L.A. Police Department let Jack Webb come into the bureau there and go through the files and pull out real stories of closed cases, and then he had his writers adapt them into these radio dramas. It was terrific.
That's a great idea.
Great idea. Each case was detailed from start to finish, and Friday narrated the action. And what was so great about Dragnet, we talked about this before, was the sound effects. When you listen to a Dragnet show, you will hear incredible, realistic sound effects. They had 5 sound effects experts on every show. Most shows had 1 or possibly 2. This show had 5. And Jack Webb was fantastic in this role. It also had great supporting characters like Frank Lovejoy, Paul Frees, Parley Bear, Harry Bartell, Peggy Weber, who's been on this show. She played a lot of the older ladies. She would talk like this, but she was a real young girl on the show. And she played his mom. She played Jack Webb's mother on the show. William Conrad was in a lot of them. And then it went to television, and it was even more successful on TV. It was 16 seasons on television. It started in black and white, then they moved to color. There's also some movies. I mean, it's probably the most famous detective show of all time.
I remember watching Dragnet.
Dragnet, yeah. We have a great radio episode for you now. It's a Mother's Day show. It's called The Big Mother. It stars Jack Webb. It's from November 9th, 1950, part one of Dragnet.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a homicide detail. A newborn baby is taken from a hospital nursery. There's no trace of the infant. There's no trace of the abductor.
It was Thursday, January 28th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Steve. My name's Friday. It was 11:35 p.m. when we got to Mercy Hospital on Norwich Avenue, the main entrance.
Better check at the desk.
Yeah.
2B, right away, Eleanor. 2B, Wayne. Yes, sir?
Police officers, we received a call from the hospital here.
Oh, yes, sir. Right this way, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Walsh is waiting for you.
Is he the man in charge?
Oh, no. Dr. Walsh is the head of the hospital.
I see.
Please, Dr. Walsh.
Hi. Come in, please. Come in.
Thank you, miss.
Yes.
Dr. Walsh.
How do you do?
It's my partner, Sergeant Romero. My name's Friday.
Yes, I've been waiting for you. You have a seat, please?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, I just got here a few moments ago myself. No doubt you know as much about this as I do.
We were notified that a 3-day-old baby's missing. Is that correct?
Yes, one of the Stryker twins. Found just Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm. Where'd the baby disappear from, Doctor?
Nursery. Can't understand how it could happen. Never heard of such a thing.
Who was in charge of the nursery?
Nurse O'Connor. She's back with the superintendent of nurses. Quite upset. Would you like to talk to her?
Yes, sir, we would.
All right.
This way, please.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes,
Doctor?
Yes, can't understand it. How could a baby disappear like that?
Have the parents been notified?
Father's on his way in now. We haven't told the mother yet.
Mm-hmm. When did they first notice the baby was gone?
I understand it was around 11 p.m.
Call came into our office about 11:20.
Go ahead, Sergeant. Ms. O'Connor?
Yes, Dr. Walsh.
These gentlemen are from the police department. Sergeant Romero, Sergeant Freddy.
Oh, you mean?
What do you do?
They want to know all about what happened tonight. You know, of course, it's a serious matter. Try to tell exactly how it happened.
I'll try, Doctor.
All right, officers.
Thank you. Well, we know that you're probably pretty upset, nurse, now. You just relax and take your time.
Yes, sir.
When did you first notice that the Stryker baby was missing?
Must have happened somewhere between 11 o'clock and 10 minutes past 11, I'm sure of that.
How are you sure of that?
I came on duty a few minutes before 11. I took the night reports as usual, and I started checking the orders and the formulas. I remember very well that both the Stryker twins were in their cribs at that time.
Mm-hmm. Go on, please.
I think it must have been about 5 minutes past 11 when I got this phone call from home. My mother's been sick lately. It was about her.
How far did you have to go to answer the phone?
About 10 feet down the hall from the nursery, just around the corner.
Could you see the entrance to the nursery from where you were talking on the phone?
No, sir, I couldn't. But I was only on the phone for a minute or two. As soon as I hung up, I came right back to the nursery.
Was the telephone call actually from your mother?
Yes, sir. My mother has a heart condition. She wanted me to be sure and have a prescription filled.
What time was it when you got back to the nursery, owner? Can you remember that?
It wasn't quite 10 minutes past 11. So I came back through the door into the nursery. I noticed right away one of the cribs was empty. One of the Stryker twins was gone.
Is there more than one entrance to the nursery, Miss O'Connor?
Yes, sir. There are two entrances, but at night, one of them's kept locked.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that somebody in the hospital, maybe a doctor, took the baby for examination or some kind of treatment?
No, sir. Just as soon as I noticed the baby was gone, I went to the head nurse, and the two of us contacted everybody in the hospital. No one knew anything about it.
Well, is it possible that the child's mother could have come down from the second floor and taken the baby?
No, sir. Miss Stryker's been asleep since 10 o'clock. She's still asleep.
Were there any other nurses or attendants working near the nursery when the baby disappeared?
No. No reason for anyone besides myself to be around at that time. None of the cleaning people. They'd all gone home.
Dr. Walsh, I wonder if we could have a look at the nursery now.
Certainly, sir. Want Nurse O'Connor to come along?
Yes, would you please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
This way, gentlemen. Straight down the hall.
What are the hospital visiting hours, Doctor?
Usual. 2 until 4 in the afternoon, 7 to 9 in the evenings. Quite strict about that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if all the visitors had left the hospital by 9 o'clock tonight?
Well, of course I wasn't here, but the superintendent of nurses told me they'd all left by 9. She's compiling a list of every visitor we had this evening. Good.
They'll all have to be checked.
Nursery's right here, officers.
Mm-hmm.
This empty crib just inside the window here.
Was. You can see it's right next to the door here.
I noticed that there's no blanket in the crib. Is that missing, too?
Yes, sir. Crib's just the way I found it when I came back from the telephone. I haven't touched it.
Are there any marks of identification on the blanket or the clothing?
Each one's stenciled Mercy Hospital. Each baby wears an ID bracelet.
Doctor, I wonder if we could have that crib brought out to have it checked for possible fingerprints.
Certainly, of course.
Is this the other door to the nursery you mentioned, Miss O'Connor?
That's right, Sergeant. I've checked it. It's locked.
A large window on the other side of the nursery. Is that a stationary window?
Yes, sir, it is. It faces onto a small court.
Well, and whoever took the baby had to use this door.
It's the only way they could have gotten in. Oh, excuse me a minute. I want to attend to the baby in there.
Sure.
Listen to that, Jim.
Yeah. Doctor, are there any other entrances open at night besides the main one?
Not after 10 p.m., no. Just the main entrance on Norwich Avenue. There's a nurse on duty there at all times.
How about the parents? Is there anything unusual there?
No. Father's a working man. Mother's a housewife. Both the babies are perfectly normal. Nothing unusual at all.
3-day-old baby. They usually take a lot of careful handling, don't they?
Yes, definitely. First week's always critical. And this thing, taking a 3-day-old infant out in this weather, cold, rain. Afraid the odds are all against the child.
You're sure the main entrance was the only one open after 10 o'clock?
Yes. I can't understand it. How could anyone get that baby out of that hospital? How could they?
We're not sure they did. Midnight. A 3-day-old twin boy was missing from his crib in the hospital nursery. That's all we knew. We checked the list of possibilities. The baby could have been taken for ransom. Somebody wanted revenge on the Stryker family and decided on the baby as the best means. Maybe someone just wanted a child, someone mentally unsound, a maniac, a pervert. Maybe an accident had happened at the hospital. Somebody wanted to cover up. Possibly one of the parents or their families had a motive. Perhaps somebody just wanted the child dead. We called the office and got out an APB on the Stryker baby and a description of the blanket and the clothing. Details of officers were alerted at the bus depots, railroad terminals, the airports, all public transportation facilities. Steps were taken to notify doctors, hospitals, sanitariums, anybody in any place where a 3-day-old baby might be taken. The entire area around Mercy Hospital was canvassed. No information. The baby's crib was dusted for prints. No leads, no physical evidence. The investigation continued. When George Stryker, the father of the child, arrived, Ben and I met with him in the office of the hospital superintendent.
Can't we let people know about it? Newspapers and the radio?
We've already covered that. Stories and pictures have gone out to the papers. We've notified the radio stations. They're getting out broadcasts on it.
How am I going to tell my wife?
Well, sir, there's only one thing that we can promise you. We'll do everything we can to find your baby.
But isn't there something I can do? Isn't there some way I can help?
This is just a remote possibility, Mr. Stryker, but you ought to know about it.
What's that?
In case anybody contacts you regarding your baby, in case they make any demands on you for money or anything else, we want you to notify us immediately.
What could they expect to get from us? We own our home. That's about all.
We just want to cover all the possibilities, Mr. Stryker. In case any demand at all is made, don't try to deal with the people. All right?
Yes, sir, I understand.
Sergeant?
Yes?
One of the men from the homicide would like to see you outside. Sergeant will leave us.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
We'll have to go now, Mrs. Stryker. We'll keep you informed.
All right, thank you.
Joe?
Yeah, I'll leave us.
I think we got something back here.
What's that?
Encinas and I were the night watchman out back, the side of the hospital that faces on Stacy Avenue.
Yeah.
2 doors back there, just off the street. One of them's open.
Together with Sergeant Belevis and Dr. Walsh, the head of the hospital, we went back and examined the side door which opened onto Stacy Avenue. The latch was obviously faulty. It took only slight pressure on the door to open it. The latch, both doorknobs, and the door itself were dusted for prints. The entranceway and the immediate area were rechecked. No leads, no physical evidence. We traced an imaginary path from the open door to the nursery. We came to the conclusion that it could have been possible for an abductor to enter the hospital, make his way to the nursery, take the child from its crib in the absence of the night nurse, and leave by the same side door without being seen. Storekeepers and residents along Stacy Avenue were re-questioned. We got nowhere. When the abduction story broke in the newspaper and over the radio the next morning, the calls started to come in. People in practically all sections of the city thought that they'd seen the missing baby. Each call was carefully checked out. None of them paid off. 10 a.m., we checked back in at the office.
I must be getting old, Joe. Can't seem to take these all-night sessions like I used to.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty tired. Drank too much coffee again. I got a sour stomach.
Hi.
Hi, Olivas.
Hi. The stats office come up with that run for us yet?
No, they're still working on it.
How about that San Bernardino call?
Yeah, they called back. They picked the woman up when she got off the bus, checked her and the baby out. Baby belongs to her.
Mm-hmm. Anything else come in?
All been checked out. Well, the press called again. Want to know if there are any new leads.
Yeah.
Sergeant Spidey in here?
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
They told me in the business office to come down and see you.
Surely. Come on in.
Thanks. My name's Wallace. I'm the desk clerk down at the hotel on 11th Street, Bluebird Hotel.
Yes, sir.
I got some information. I'd like to talk to you.
All right, sir. This is my partner, Sergeant Romero. And Sergeant Olivas.
How are you?
Wallace. What's the information about?
Well, I got hold of a paper this morning, read about that baby that's missing.
Yes, sir.
Imagine those people are pretty worried about the kid. Guess they'd like all the information they can get, huh? Looks like that hospital's in a jam, wouldn't you say?
Well, what information do you have, Wallace?
I guess those parents could sue the hospital if they wanted to, huh?
Well, sir, all we're interested in is finding the baby. Can you help us there?
Well, I don't know for sure.
What are you trying to tell us? Have you seen the baby?
Well, I may have. Do you happen to know if they're offering any reward for information?
Well, I don't know where it had come from. The father's a working man.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Sergeant. I don't expect anything for any information I'd give, but... Well, I don't make too much at the hotel. You know, if they wanted to show their gratitude in some way, just thought I'd mention it.
No, thank you, Wallace. Don't worry about that. Now, what's the information?
Well, you know, I didn't mean anything by that. Anybody'd be glad to help out in a case like this. What I came in to tell you was a woman and a young baby checked in the hotel last night when I was on duty.
What time?
I think it was about 12 o'clock. Woman didn't have any baggage or anything. One little blanket around the kid. When I saw that story in the paper this morning, I got suspicious.
The woman still registered at the hotel?
She was when I left. That was about an hour ago.
What name did she register under, you remember?
No, I don't, but it's in the register. You can check it if you want.
Where is the hotel?
11th and Charleston, right in the corner. Sure, it must be the kid you're looking for. Say, I hope you haven't got me wrong.
How do you mean?
About the reward, you know. I don't expect anything for this.
We haven't got you wrong.
All right, that is the first portion of Dragnet with the Big Mother, starring Jack Webb from 1950. Let's take a quick break.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. And I got to tell you, Roger, those Twizzlers look really yucky.
Oh, you saw that picture?
I showed him the picture on Facebook.
Gosh.
It's they're
it's
filled.
You don't like creamsicles?
I don't. I don't like creamy stuff.
So let's tell the audience what we're talking about here. This is a Twizzler that has some kind of a
cream
filling
inside.
Yeah.
And it's orange with the white cream inside.
And it's very orangey, the taste. So and it tastes just like the cream filling on a creamsicle.
Yeah. Carl and I are going to have to take a pass on that one.
Are you sure?
We're so sure.
No.
All right.
Not
all
interesting.
Right. You know what?
But, you know, try again, Roger.
It's just more for me.
Yeah. You know what? Try again next week.
We'll you want the chocolate ones?
Chocolate, I would taste.
Ugh. Chocolate.
I said I would taste
chocolate Twizzlers.
I would taste
No.
Well, I'm curious enough to taste
don't
that one.
Hershey's chocolate, actually.
It's really?
Yeah.
Is it filled with chocolate
or is it just chocolate flavor? But they actually have the Hershey's label on it. The old ones they used to have didn't have any connection with a candy company or a chocolate company.
Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a great chocolate. I haven't had these, but I saw them.
I saw them at Jewel today, to be honest with you, but I did not choose to buy them, either of them.
I mean, Twizzlers are so great. The regular Twizzlers are great. But my favorite licorice is the Nibs.
Those are cherry instead of strawberry.
Those are really good.
Yeah, I saw them on the shelf. I was there.
Anytime you want to buy me some chunky.
Well, I was going to get
Nibs.
You the chunkies again, and I totally
and what
forgot
happened?
When I. Well, I totally forgot.
And the Junior Mints? Where did those go?
Lisa likes Junior Mints.
I know, and so do I.
And so do I. You know what, Roger? I don't need them either. Really. Sugar's
I know.
No
good. I'm trying to be so good. I've lost like 30-some-odd pounds already since
Fantastic.
January 1st.
What'd you do, leave your wallet at home?
Hello.
Roger, please don't encourage him.
I know.
All right, so here's I made this joke up today at Purdue.
Okay.
Okay, it's probably, I don't know if it's going to be any good or not.
Yeah.
All right, so the first man that ever walked on the moon, what was stronger on him, his legs or his arms?
Armstrong. That was a real sophisticated joke.
Roger. I made it up.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the rest of our... oh, I'm sorry, what?
I'm here till Thursday. Tip your waitress.
And try the veal.
All right, let's get back to the Big Mother on Dragnet.
35 a.m. It was still raining. Together with the desk clerk, Wallace, we drove to the Blueberry Hotel on 11th Street. We checked the cards at the desk and found that the woman had registered under the name of Mrs. Harold Parks. The clerk on duty told us as far as he knew she was still in the room with the baby.
The room's down this way, Sergeant.
Okay.
This is the 116. Mrs. Parks. Mrs. Parks.
You have a passkey with you, Wallace?
Yeah. Nobody here.
Wait a minute.
What do you got?
Small blanket. Check the lettering.
Mercy Hospital.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action.
Friday, January 29th, 11 a.m. We were unable to locate the woman who had registered at the hotel under the name of Mrs. Parks. There was no sign of the baby. The blanket we found in the room was identified by hospital personnel as the same type used in the nursery. The room was checked for fingerprints and physical evidence. We found nothing. People in adjoining rooms were questioned, but they could give us no information. Captain Steed ordered an immediate canvass of all hotels, apartments, and rooming houses in the central area. The hotel clerks were shown mugshots of possible suspects. They failed to identify any of them. 3 p.m. Friday, the search for the Stryker baby went on.
Yeah, checked out all right. Okay, Gilfan.
Anything?
Gil and Zenas, check that Wilshire call. It's another phone.
Might have something, Fox.
Yeah?
Ruiz and I were making the rounds of hotels out along Pico. Stopped at a drugstore for a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to druggists while we were there. Had a pretty good story for us.
You got a light?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Thanks. This drugstore is 2 blocks from the hotel where the woman stayed. It's open all night. And the druggist told us a woman answering this Mrs. Parks description came in about 1:30 a.m. Bought a whole raft of stuff.
How do you mean? What kind of stuff?
Well, everything for a baby. Bottles, nipples, dextrose, oil powder, you know, all that stuff.
Was he sure of the woman's description?
He gave it to us before we'd even mentioned what this Mrs. Parks looked like. Right down to the color of her coat.
Did she have the baby with her when she bought this stuff?
And the druggist said no. She even asked him if she could buy canned milk there.
Where does it lead?
How do you mean?
Does he have any idea where the woman came from, where she went?
No, but he said if she came back in again, he'll keep us posted if anything turns up. And...
I get it. Homicide, Friday.
My name's Mrs. Lucy. I'm calling about that missing baby in the paper. Am I talking to the right department?
Yes, ma'am. Do you have any information on the case?
Well, I certainly have. I know where that Stryker baby is right now. That's all. Not their baby.
Why do you say that?
That baby they have no more looks like Mr. Salazar. Mrs. Salazar and mine do.
How do you mean, Mrs. Lucy?
It's very simple. Mr. Salazar is dark, quite dark. Dark hair, dark eyes, dark complexion. His wife's the same way.
Yes, ma'am.
Baby they have is a blonde.
Before I hung up, I got the woman's name and address and told her that we'd check out her neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Salazar. We weren't sure what it meant. It could be the real thing. It could be like 100 other calls that we'd had in the last 12 hours. Ben and I got in the car and drove out to the Salazar home on Wonderland Avenue. We noticed several cars parked in the driveway and in front of the house. We went up the front stairs and rang the doorbell.
Yes, sir? Come on in, please.
We'd like to speak to Mr. Salazar.
Yes, sir, that's me. Come on in.
Thank you.
Come inside. Let me fix you a drink. You're late, huh?
No, thank you. We're police officers, Mr. Salazar. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Oh? What's the matter? We're making too much noise for the neighbors?
No, it's not that, sir. Just like to ask you a few questions. Someplace we can go.
Well, I have to take care of the guests, you know. We have this party here. My son was baptized today, my first son. That's why we're having a party.
Yes, sir. We're sorry to interrupt, but this is pretty important. It won't take very long.
Well, all right. I guess they can get along for a few minutes. Back here in the kitchen, it's probably the quietest place.
Fine.
Back this way, officer?
Fine.
Over there. Pull up a couple of chairs.
Thank you. Miss Salazar, this is my partner, Sergeant Romero. My name's Friday, homicide.
Yes, sir. What's the matter? What do you want to ask me?
We're investigating a case that involves a missing baby, sir.
Well, the one in the paper this morning. I read about that. It's a terrible thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. We've had a report that the missing baby was seen in this neighborhood. We don't know how true it is, but we have orders to check it out.
Well, sure, anything I can do. I don't know how much I can help, but I can understand how that mama and papa feel. My brand new son, I know how I feel.
How old is your son, Mr. Salazar?
He's just 1 week old this afternoon. Fine boy.
Was the baby born here in Los Angeles?
No, I sent my wife Roberta to Phoenix to have a baby. We thought it'd be a lot healthier for her down there. She has a good friend of hers in Phoenix.
Oh, I see. Your wife had the baby in Phoenix, and then she brought him back here.
Yes, that's right. Roberta came in early this morning. Big surprise for me. I didn't know she was coming. Right away, I called all our old friends. I called Father DeSoto for the baptism, and I got things ready for the party. Big baptism party.
Mm-hmm. You say your wife got back early this morning?
Yes, a few minutes after 3 o'clock. Roberta came in on the plane. She said it was late. You know, a big storm.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could talk to your wife, Mr. Salazar.
Well, Roberta's taking a little nap right now. She got in late, you know, all the excitement. Do we have to wake her up?
Well, no, sir, not right away. I just wonder if we could see the baby.
Well, the baby's sleeping, too. Roberta said not to go in, but... Well, if you're real quiet...
Yes, sir, we'll be.
Okay, he's right there. Over here. Let me pull the blanket down. There he is. Big fella, huh?
He's blonde.
Huh?
What do you think, Joe?
I think he's got a twin. 5 p.m., Harlan Stahl from Latent Fingerprints arrived at the Salazar home. The footprint of the missing child taken at the time of birth was compared with the print from the child the Salazars had. The prints were identical. The missing baby had been found. 5:20 p.m., Ben and I talked with Mrs. Salazar in the kitchen of her home. The christening party went on.
I don't think I understand what this is all about, officer. What has my baby got to do with all this?
You know as well as we do, Mrs. Salazar. That baby in there, it doesn't belong to you. It's not yours.
What do you mean it's not mine? Of course it's my baby. My husband's and mine. I just brought him from Phoenix last night. That's where the baby was born. What are you trying to do to me?
That baby isn't yours, Mrs. Salazar. Now, you know that. It was taken from the hospital. How about the truth?
You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about. It's my baby. He was baptized today. Juan Tomas Salazar. It's my baby.
This is a pretty serious matter, ma'am. The baby's footprint has been checked out. The child belongs to a Mrs. Stryker. We want to know how you happen to have him.
Because he's my baby. That's why I have him. You don't know what a mistake you're making. He's my baby. I brought him from Phoenix last night. You can ask my husband. He'll tell you.
A woman checked in at the Bluebird Hotel on 11th Street about midnight last night, Mrs. Salazar. She had a young baby with her. You fit a description.
I didn't go to a hotel last night. The plane landed here from Phoenix. I came right home.
The hotel clerk remembers you. He can identify you. So can the druggist when you bought the supplies from.
I bought nothing. The plane landed. I came home. It's my baby. My baby.
We found the baby's blanket in the hotel room you rented. We have your description from at least 3 people, even the color of the coat you wore last night.
You can't take him away. He belongs to me. Me and Frank, you can't take him away, please. You can't.
Miss Salazar, why don't you put yourself in the place of the real mother of that baby? How do you think she feels about her baby being taken away? How about it, Miss Salazar?
Have a drink, officers, please. For the party. Have a drink, I'll tell you.
Tell us what, ma'am?
I'm tired, Mr. Bell.
Yeah.
course you meant it. I'll tell you how it happened. I know you understand.
Yes, ma'am.
It'll be 11 years next month that Frank and I were married. I don't have to tell you we want a baby. Frank always wanted a baby, but no more than I did. It's what we live for, a baby of our own.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy or girl, we didn't care. But we didn't have one. For 11 years, we didn't have one. And last April, that's when the doctor told me. He said I was going to have a baby.
Yes, ma'am, I understand.
Well, a month before the baby was born, we thought it would be better if I went to my friend's place in Phoenix, Arizona. For the winter, you know, it would be warmer there. Frank thought it would be nicer for me and the baby.
Your husband was still in Los Angeles?
Yes, he tried to come to Phoenix, but he had to work, so I had my baby alone. It was a boy. My friend was with me. She'll tell you it was a boy.
Yes, ma'am.
I kept calling for him to bring my baby. It was a long time I kept calling. Then they finally came, and the doctor, too. And he's the one that told me.
Yes, ma'am.
He looked just like his father. I know that. But they told me he was dead. I don't remember much after that, Sergeant. I got out of the hospital, and I took the plane, and I came back here.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark, and it was raining. But I walked around. I walked up and down the streets, thinking, what could I tell Frank? Baby was dead, that's all I could tell him. Then I walked past the hospital.
That was Mercy Hospital, ma'am?
Yes. And it was raining. And I could see all those babies inside, warm and in their cribs. And I wanted just one of them. Just one for Frank and me. So I went in the side door and I found the nursery. And when the nurse was gone, I took him and left. My baby. I went to the hotel to keep him out of the rain. And when it cleared a little, I took him home. I took him home to Frank. I took my baby home. That's why you want my baby, isn't it? Because I took him. Because my baby died and I took him.
Well, everything will be all right, Miss Salazar. I think we can straighten it out.
Roberta, you talked to the officers?
Frank, what do you want me to say?
It'll be all right, officers. Won't everything be all right?
Yes, sir, I think we can work it out.
What could I tell you, Frank? What was there to say to you?
It's all right, honey. It's all right. I go out and tell the people now.
And what can you say? What can you tell them?
The party's over. It's just a mistake.
The story you just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent. Roberta Salazar was examined by 6 psychiatrists and was ordered to be placed in a state mental institution for treatment. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases, portions transcribed from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
That is Dragnet, going back to a broadcast date of November 9th, 1950, called The Big Mother, with Jack Webb along with Barton Yarborough in that. That was originally sponsored by Fatima Cigarettes. But guess what, Lisa?
We took out the commercials.
Yes, we took out. We always take out the cigarette commercials. You can't air them on radio, so we took them out.
And we wouldn't want to air those anyways.
Nah.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for staying up late. Thank you, Roger Badish, who was eating those Twizzlers that have the inside stuff. Oof. Yeah.
They're orange. They're really soft and orange, and they have
you tried
white,
a little taste.
White cream
pop inside.
Can you
hand me that waste basket, Lisa?
Well, there are worse things out there, let's just say.
I actually put the bag up on our little food table up here, so I'll leave it to others to finish.
The last two pieces, you had enough.
I could just see there's somebody at, like, the Twizzler company that says, bought, you know, there's like, you know, there's the round table and they're having the ideas. And somebody says, hey, boss, I have an idea. How about if we make the Twizzlers orange and when you bite into it, this cream stuff comes out of it, huh? What do you think of that idea?
It's like a Twinkie.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. It's like a Twinkie, and Twinkies have been popular forever.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the guy that came up with that idea, or girl, did not get fired. Because it made it to market, and there's a huge display of it at Jewel
today.
Yeah, it's a one-time thing, though.
Yep. Oh, it's a one-time
thing? Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe not if people buy it. I mean, maybe it's just a test market.
A one-time thing.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's no such
thing.
They'll
decide. They'll look at the sales figures and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. The same with the chocolate. And they've come out with different ones at times. This is not the first time. Like I noted on my post on my Facebook earlier, they've test marketed different flavors and different styles. This is not the first filled one they've tried.
Oh, really?
The previous one was disgusting. This one's not too bad. I'm sorry, Twizzler. It's nothing against you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, we tried it.
Listen, I like their regular Twizzlers a lot. Well, so we're hopefully Mr. Twizzler is not going to come over here.
Well, when Mr. Twizzler comes and advertises with us on WGN, we'll try to like it a little more.
Is the guy all twisted up?
He's like, comes in here, he's all like. all right. Well, in this hour, we have another Mother's Day program. It's called the Double Mothers on Box 13. You like Box 13, right, Raj?
Yeah, Box 13 Alan is Ladd. One I have not heard before.
Come on, Alan Ladd. It's Dan Halliday. You know,
I know who Alan Ladd is.
You know the whole gist of this show?
No.
So he's a writer, right? He was a newspaper man, and he turned mystery novelist, okay? Mm-hmm. So he used to be a newspaper man. Now he's writing novels, and he has sort of writer's block. So what he decides to do is put an ad in the Star-Times newspaper, which is where he used to work, that says, "Adventure wanted, we'll go anywhere, do anything, write Box 13." And so then people would write in, say, hey, my, you know, son was kidnapped, or hey, my, you know, girlfriend, I think she may be being, seeing somebody else. So he would then, he wouldn't charge them anything, but then he would solve the crime, but then he would use the information as fodder for his novels. So that was the...
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, Box 13, really
good.
I
have a taker for the Twizzlers.
Uh-huh. Who's that?
Well, I think Aubrey just took
one. Oh, Aubrey took some?
I think, all right. We'll find out.
So stick around for Box 13,
Box 13,
okay?
That sounds excellent.
Yeah, it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride. Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as an astronomer in the upcoming film Transformers: The Last Knight, based on the toy line created by Hasbro.
All right.
And the winner gets a Twilight Zone 4-CD set hosted by Stacey Keach.
All right. Here's a, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor portrayed the title character in 2012's Hitchcock.
Well, you better enjoy the pool, my dear, while you can. We might not have it much longer.
Who is that great actor? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll be send a sorry note.
Please do. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we like to play Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Well, you better enjoy the pool, my dear, while you can. We might not have it much longer.
And we've got Joe on the line. Hey, Joe.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Good, you sound wide awake.
Too bad. I enjoy your show so much.
We're so glad. We're going to try to keep you awake for a little while longer. Who is that actor?
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins is exactly right.
And hey, Joe, I just want to interrupt for a second.
Because you're good at that.
Joe, did you see this movie?
I did not.
Oh, this is a great movie. This is a really interesting film, Hitchcock. And I know you know who it is. But if you have a chance, check it out. It's really good.
I will look forward to doing
okay,
so.
Okay, so who is the actor?
Are you done now?
Yeah,
okay.
Back to Lisa.
Okay, now it's my turn. So we are so thrilled to give you the Twilight
She's
Zone.
She's very territorial when it comes to the celebrity scoop.
This is kind of my, it's my baby
It's her
here.
Thing.
Yeah. So, you know.
Even though I came up with the idea.
No, it's my idea, my prize, my everything. It's all me. We're thrilled to give you a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set hosted by Stacey Keach, produced by Carl. And they are really terrific. They're kind of scary and eerie, and we all love them.
Just like you.
Yes, just like me. So we hope you enjoy them.
We sure will. And all I've got to say, just quick thing.
Sure.
Stacey Keach, Ninth Configuration.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just had to throw that out.
Yes. You know what? He's such a great guy. I tell you what, did you ever meet him before?
I wish.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's going to be here at
he opens
Goodman,
next week at
Go
the Goodman Theater,
at
Pamplona.
Goodman Theater.
It's called Pamplona at Goodman
he's
Theater.
He's playing Hemingway.
Yep, Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, check it out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Thank
Joe.
You.
Enjoy
Take
the
care.
Twilight Zone CDs. Thanks for calling in. All right, it's time for Box 13. We talked about the whole history of it. This is a broadcast from October 10th, 1948. It's called The Double Mothers. Here's Alan Ladd in part one of Box 13.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13.
They stood in the warm rays of the autumn sun while the wind played in the girl's hair. Oh, no, not that. Susie.
Hello, Mr. Holliday. Oh, no, not what?
I'm referring to the story I'm writing.
Better forget the story, Mr. Holliday. I've got mail for you.
So? What's new in Box 13?
Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Let's see. Where was I? Oh. But Betty forgot her dignity as she fell and bumped her head against the tree which stood nearby. Oh, brother.
Mr. Holliday.
What's that, Susie?
I said that maybe the mail from Box 13 might give you an idea. Today there were two letters.
Two?
Yes, One of them is a big, fat envelope.
Now, who in the world would send me a big, fat envelope?
The police department. It's a block of tickets for their annual ball.
What's the other one?
This one smells all romantic-like. It has the odor of Christmas night. Or, maybe it's Easter morn.
Or maybe it's Tuesday afternoon. Here, let's have it. If you will really do anything, what I have to ask is very, very little. Please meet me in North Park at 10 o'clock tonight. I'll be waiting at the bench near the entrance to the bridal path. Signed, Anonymous.
It couldn't have been very romantic, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, why not, Susie?
I don't see stars in your eyes.
We'll take another look, Susie. Tonight at 10 o'clock. An anonymous note. A rendezvous in the park at night. Well, I must admit it's better than the yarn I was writing. At least it's got a good start. The question is, what's the ending? Well, this is the park, and the clock says 10. There's the bench at the end of the bridal path. And that's all there is. Hey, wait a minute. Is that? No, it couldn't be. A little girl, sound asleep, nobody else around. What's she doing out here alone this time of night? Little girl. Wake up, little girl. Wake up.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Sandman came when I was supposed to stay awake.
Now, what are you doing here?
Waiting.
But aren't you cold?
No, I'm not cold. I have a nice new coat. See?
Yes, it's very pretty. But for whom are you waiting?
I'm waiting for the man.
What man?
He comes out of a box. It has a number.
Oh, no. You don't mean box 13?
Yes, that's it. How did you know?
Because I'm the man.
Oh, I'm so glad. You're nice. Oh, I like you a lot.
Well, thanks. Who told you about the man from box 13?
One of my mothers.
Mothers? You've got more than one?
Of course, I got two.
You're a very remarkable little girl. How do you happen to have two mothers?
I don't know. It just happened, I guess.
What's your name?
Jeannie.
I mean, what's your other name?
I promised I wouldn't tell.
Now, whom did you promise?
My mother.
Oh, your mother. The first one or the second one?
The first one, naturally.
Forgive me, I'm so stupid tonight. Where do you live, Jeannie?
I've had two homes. I couldn't find either one.
That's great. Look, Janie, what are you going to do?
I'm going with you because I like you and I promised I would.
So that's it. Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to take you to the police station.
My mother said you wouldn't.
Why wouldn't I?
My mother said you were a nice man who was smarter than any policeman ever was.
Janie, flattery will get you nowhere.
What's flattery?
That's something you've probably already learned from your mother. Now, do you know where you live?
Sure, I live in the house.
And do you know where the house is?
Well, first you have to walk down this block to Jack Black's drugstore.
Well, come on.
And then we get to the drugstore, we turn left and walk a block.
Oh, that's where you live.
No, no. That's the corner where Johnson's toy shop is.
Now, Janie.
And then we turn right and go two blocks.
That's home.
That's where the ice cream parlor is.
Now, stop that, Janie, and tell me how to get to your home.
Well, you walk half a block up that street. That's home.
Oh, that's your home.
No, that's David's home.
So you're not going to tell me where you live, is that it?
I think maybe you'd better look at my book first. It's Grimm's Fairy Tales. Only they're not grim at all. They're nice.
You want me to read to you? At 10 o'clock at night? You know, young lady, it's way past your bedtime.
No. No, I want you to read the letter that's in my book. Mommy said to tell you about it.
Letter? Here, let me see that. Well, how do you like this? Please take care of my little Janie for me. I shall communicate with you in a little while. Let no one, even the police, take her away. Believe me when I say you're doing nothing illegal. Just helping out. Her mother.
You're nice. I like your voice. What's your name?
Dan. A sucker, if there ever was one. This is not good. A small girl left in your care with no more authority than a letter. Suppose the woman who wrote this letter isn't Janie's real mother. Man, Holiday, you're in trouble. But suppose she is the real mother. Why should she leave her child with a perfect stranger? Why? Well, there's only one thing to do. Take her to your apartment. Come on, Janie girl, let's go. Hope that the neighbors won't see you bringing home a little girl. Because that happens to be one item you don't win at a bingo game. Put it down on the couch, Holiday. That's it. Never knew a kid could have so much strength in her arms, did you? Feels kind of good, too. Better get a blanket to put over. Better yet, stupid, put her in your bed. Well, Holiday, it looks like you're sleeping on the couch tonight. I wonder who she is and what this is all about. Hello?
Dan Holiday?
Yes?
The man from Box 13?
Yes?
How's my little girl? Did you get home all right?
How did you get my phone number?
That's not important.
How do you know who I am?
Please, how is my little girl?
She's asleep.
Oh, thank heavens.
I heard the bell ringing.
She just woke up.
Is she all right?
She's fine, but...
I want a fairy tale.
Just a minute, honey. How long will it take you to get over here?
Oh, I can't come over there now. I'm afraid to.
Lady, which mother are you?
I don't understand you.
She says she's got two.
I'm her real mother.
Well, then get over here and take her.
I can't explain now, but please, Mr. Holliday, keep her just for a few days.
A few days?
And don't give her up to anyone, not even the police.
Now, how do I know this is on the level?
You don't. You'll just have to trust me. I promise you, you'll never regret it.
I don't like any part of this, except Janie.
You'll understand soon, Mr. Holliday. And remember, be very careful. Both Janie and you are in danger.
You're right, our Holliday. How do you like this plot? A mother gives a little girl to a strange man, warning him not to give the child up to anyone, not even the police. And then she admits there's danger. Janie.
I broke the lamp.
Oh, that's all right, baby. Are you hurt?
I didn't mean to. I wanted my bed to poke.
No, don't cry, honey. That was a nasty old lamp anyway. All it did was throw off a lot of light.
You're a nightmare. Are you my daddy?
No, Janie.
My daddy went away when I was a baby. Why can't you be my daddy?
It's getting late, honey. Aren't you sleepy?
Not anymore. Read me a fairy tale, Daddy.
In the morning, Janie. Now, you'd better get to bed.
Have you got a doll?
No, I'm sorry. No doll.
Teddy bear?
No teddy bear.
You must be awful lonesome.
Maybe you've got something there, little lady.
Daddy?
Hmm?
Tell me a fairy story.
All right, honey. Let's see now. Once upon a time, there were three bears. The papa bear, the mama bear,
and the baby bear. I know that story.
Okay, let's see. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Red Riding Hood.
And the wolf ate up her grandmother. I know that one, too.
Janie... Maybe you should tell me the stories. Oh, let's see. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Jack who planted a bean seed, and it grew up into a mighty tall vine,
and he climbed into the sky and killed a bad giant. I know that one, too.
Saved by the bell.
Hello, Holliday.
Oh, Lieutenant Kling.
Sting music. Like,
intrigue.
All right, that's the first portion of Box 13 with the Double Mothers starring Alan Ladd from 1948. More coming your way after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back. Thanks, Roger. And we are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people still think, Lisa, that we're only on either Sunday or Saturday. We're on both nights, right?
Yeah, double the fun.
Yeah, we're here Saturdays and Sundays. So mark your calendar for that. Make sure you tell a friend. And folks, thanks. We are now over 2,000.
Over 2,200.
Sorry, 2,200 Facebook likes. So thank you for that. Thanks for going to our Facebook page and liking us. We really appreciate that. Lisa likes it when we're liked.
We like to be liked. And yeah. We also have our schedule posted up there. And we have pictures of the stars from each of the radio shows posted up there. And there's always some fun pictures and tidbits. So we love to have you check out the Facebook page before, during, or after the show.
Yeah. You know what? We do a lot of research. We try to find a really cool picture to post with every one of the radio shows that we air. Like we're airing Box 13 right now. If you go to our Facebook page, just log on to Facebook and then go to WGN Radio Theater, you will see a really cool picture of Alan Ladd as Dan Halliday in Box 13. Prior to that, there was a Jack Webb picture. I think it's still up.
They're
and then
up.
Eve
it's,
Arden.
It's actually in one montage for the night. And I also post a schedule for the weekend sometime during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, that's way too much information. I can't comprehend all that.
I know. It's a lot to take in, huh?
You just overloaded me.
Okay, I'll
with that.
Stop.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay. And I also post the podcast.
I'm still on the pictures. I'm just telling
the pictures, the schedule,
like,
our podcast.
A picture of the star.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah. There's a lot of things there. There's also pictures of Lisa. She loves the post pictures of herself. Oh,
I
my
do
gosh.
Not post
and
pictures
she saw,
of
Roger
myself.
Will attest to this. He was down here
what?
A little earlier.
Yeah, I
and
was.
She's like, hey, let's take a picture. Hey, let's take a picture of us. Picture, picture, picture.
Well, we haven't
picture.
Taken one in a long time.
Exactly.
I've aged like 20 years since the last
He's
one.
He's lost 30-some pounds, yeah, so true. He should yeah. be in pictures.
I've never you seen a woman take more pictures of her. Of herself.
She does take a lot of pictures.
She
what?
Does, right?
Roger,
doesn't she?
What are you doing?
She do.
Here's what she does, though. She takes a, she has people take pictures of her, and then she's like, mm-hmm. I don't like that picture.
No, no, no. Shantae took it, who is
Roger,
our producer.
Is this true?
She just took a couple.
Am I making this up?
No, she wasn't. She says, let's try another one.
Yeah.
Right? No, Shantae suggested it.
Yeah, that's
right,
true.
So Roger,
she said, you know what?
Corroborated
I'll take one more.
If you don't like this one, well, let's try another one.
She's like, hey, I got a great idea. Let's take our picture, and then we take the picture, and mm-hmm. then she doesn't like it.
Well,
sometimes
she did. She
I
said,
liked it.
She said it like this. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Can you take
yeah.
another one?
No, that's not how
no,
it went.
No, Shantae suggested.
Well, but
and
Lisa,
she was happy to accept.
But Lisa,
exactly.
You know it's true. So just admit it. You never liked the first time we take a picture.
I
we have to take another
like
one.
The second one.
Yeah.
It's
well, you're
better.
Making those goofy faces.
You know, I was trying
yeah.
to make sure that Carl wasn't sleeping in the pictures. Eyes were half closed.
I had my fingers. I was like going like
oh,
that
behind her head,
doing the antennas.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice
the antenna fingers.
Were they really?
Yeah,
I didn't even see that. Have to send me that picture.
All right. Well, we're listening to Box 13 with Alan Ladd, and he used to stand on a box. You know that, right, Roger?
So
Alan
do you,
Ladd,
Carl.
He was
well,
trying
yeah.
to get up in the world.
He used to stand.
Carl
yeah,
stands.
Hang
on.
Say
box.
That again. Say that again.
He was trying to get up in the world. Thank
much
you very
better.
Much. I'm
there
here all week.
Go. Eat the veal, as you said. All right, let's get back now to Box 13.
Holiday, you're in a jam. Lieutenant Kling of the police department doesn't drop in on people unless there's trouble. Watch your step, boy.
Well, aren't you going to ask me in?
Oh, sure, sure. Come in, Lieutenant.
That's better.
Anything wrong?
That's what I dropped in to find out. When you stay out of the department's hair for more than 2 weeks, I begin to worry.
Haven't been doing a thing, Lieutenant. Not a thing.
Besides, I want to know if you got those tickets to the ball.
Hello.
Yeah, what's this?
A little girl.
Oh, thanks, Holiday. What's your name, young lady?
Vicky. Vicky Preston.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It isn't? Holiday.
Great little kidder. Dandy sense of humor. Likes to pretend she's somebody else.
All children do.
Who is he, Daddy?
Daddy, Holiday, my boy.
See what I mean?
Who is he, Daddy?
He's a cop. A policeman, honey. Lieutenant Kling.
Oh, I like policemen.
And I like little girls. Got two of them myself. Is the writing business slow these days, Holiday?
How do you mean?
Thought you might be picking up a few bucks babysitting.
Oh, yes, just helping out a friend.
I could use you sometime. My wife and I like to get out every now and then. What's your price to sit with my kids?
That depends. Are your children anything like you?
Now, Holiday.
Oh, I'm just asking. Glad to accommodate any time.
Yep, see you around, Holiday.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Whew. Your hand is shaking.
Never mind, Jane. It's time you went to sleep. There's something about a kid asleep. Maybe I'm glad this happened. Got to use more kids in my stories after this. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have one around all the time. What am I saying? Now what? Lay off. You'll wake the kid.
You Dan Holiday?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd like to come inside and talk with you.
If you don't mind, I'd rather talk out in the doorway.
Very well, I'll be direct. You have a little girl here named Janie, about 5 years old.
Why?
My name is Sam Parker. That mean anything?
No.
I've got a letter here authorizing me to take the little girl away.
You're her father?
Read the letter, then hand over the child.
No.
Very well, I'll call the police.
I wish you would. Can I use the phone down the hall?
I'm sorry about this. But get inside, then. Keep your hands over your head.
Put down that gun. What do you think you're pulling?
Now, shut up and get inside. Oh, there she is.
Put down that gun, I said.
You come with me, Holiday. Just keep those hands high.
And I said you're staying here.
Move over to that wall.
Stay away from her, I said.
One more move and you...
Think so.
Harry! Harry, help! Hit him with the gun, Harry, now!
I got him.
nice going, Holiday. Very nice. You advertise in the newspaper for adventure and you get a little girl. Then you lose her to a man with a gun. You don't even know the mother's name or where she is. Now what?
Mr. Holiday, I'm Wanda Parker, Janie's mother. Is she all right?
You're the woman who called me on the phone?
Yes. My baby, where is she?
You're a fine one to be asking that after you leave her alone on the park bench.
I was there hiding. I saw you take... Where is she?
You shouldn't have let her go in the first place.
Mr. Holiday, where is she?
She's not here.
Not here? What have you done with my daughter?
You're her real mother?
Of course I am. Where is she? What's happened?
A man came in.
And you let him take the child?
I'm sorry. There was nothing I could do. He had a friend and a gun. They knocked me out. When I came to, Janie was gone.
This man, did he have black hair and very thick eyebrows?
Yes, he said his name was Parker.
Oh, no. Oh, it couldn't be. Mr. Holiday, we've got to get her back right away.
Before I do anything, you're going to tell me a few things. Then we'll decide.
Who's that?
I don't know. Right now, I wouldn't even care to guess.
Is there a back door? Can I get out without being seen?
Yeah, through the kitchen. There's a door leads out into the hall. What are you afraid of?
Holiday, open the door.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, a police officer, Lieutenant Klein.
You mustn't see me. I'll call you later.
All right, I'm coming.
What took you so long to open the door?
Can't a man get some sleep?
With your shoes on?
My feet are cold.
Get inside. All right, Miss Hutton.
Are you sure this is the man, Lieutenant? Do you think he could have taken Janie away?
I'm not sure of anything, but what you told me, he's just the type that could dream up a little nightmare like this.
Lieutenant, mind telling me what this is all about?
I'm Mrs. Hatton, and I'm Janie's mother. I want her right this minute.
Janie's mother? You're Janie's mother?
Lieutenant Kling, if this man has my little Janie, make him give her up right this minute.
Come on, Holiday, where is she?
Or who?
You know what I want, that little girl you had here half an hour ago. Janie Parker.
Me? I had a little girl? Up here?
Holiday.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I came up here to see you. I was worried about you. I didn't know how right I was.
And I appreciated your interest.
Shut up. When I came up here, there was a little girl around. Now, where is she?
Kling, you have my word. I don't know.
Maybe you could remember down at headquarters.
I can't remember something I didn't know in the first place.
He doesn't look like the type who would have taken Janie.
Oh, thank you. Now, Mrs. Hatton, if you'd tell me what this is all about, maybe I could help you.
My little girl disappeared tonight. I was frantic. I called the police.
I got the report right after I'd up here to see you, Holiday. From the description, I'd say you had Janie Parker right here.
But you're not sure.
Maybe you'd like to prove to me where you got the little girl I saw up here, eh? Come on, come on, tell me.
Lieutenant, you'd never believe me.
Then where is that little girl now? Can you tell me that?
No, I can't, but suppose I produced the girl and you found out it wasn't the same one.
Holiday, what are you driving at?
I just want a chance to produce the girl. How about it, Kling?
I think you're pulling another one of your fast shenanigans. I ought to lock you up. But I'm inclined to give you a chance.
What kind of a chance?
I'm giving you 3 hours to find that little girl.
3 hours?
Then I'll be back, Holiday. So don't try anything funny.
Lieutenant, at the moment, I have practically no sense of humor left. At least you're not in jail, Holiday. The good lieutenant walked out with Mrs. Hatton. You're as free as a bird on the wing for 3 hours. If you were as smart as that bird, you'd wing out of town until this blows over.
Mr. Holiday.
You.
They've gone?
You've been listening?
Yes, at the kitchen door.
Now, look, if you're Janie's mother and Mrs. Hatton is Janie's
Mr.
mother...
Mr. Holiday, there's no time to explain.
Wait a minute. Then who is Sam Parker?
He's not Sam Parker. He's Sam Clark.
Oh, I see. Because Janie has two mothers, Sam Parker turns out to be Sam Clark... What are you giving me?
I can clear up the whole thing, but we've got to get Janie away from Sam Clark first. Otherwise, I may never see her again.
How do you go about finding a man named Sam Clark in a city this size?
He doesn't live here, but I heard he drove his car down. That means he's probably staying at Brown's Motel.
Uh-huh. I think I'll drop out and pay him a visit.
I'll go with you.
No, I don't think that's wise. I'm going alone.
But Mr. Holiday...
He carries a gun. You stay here.
You'll get her. You'll bring Janie back.
I'll try my best.
I'll be waiting.
After that, I'll spend a quiet weekend with a psychiatrist. This is it. Brown's Motel. Now to find a man named Sam Clark or Sam Parker. Ask the manager. That's logical. And so he is here. Well, what do you do now, Holiday? You knock on the door, Sam Clark will stick a gun in your ribs. There'll be a fight, and Janie might get hurt. The telephone. That's how to do it. Remember to thank the man who invented outdoor phone booths. There it is. Brown's Motel. This is one time you'd better be right, Holiday. Because if you're wrong, you're dead. And that's so permanent.
Brown's Motel?
I want to speak to Mr. Clark.
I don't know. He said he didn't want to be disturbed.
This is a matter of life and death. Get him to the phone.
Who is this?
Hurry, man. I've only got a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll see.
Now, quick, Holiday. Out of the booth and around the corner towards the back. Wait. Now. Take it easy. Here he comes. Now, Holiday, just slip around to the side of the booth where you won't be seen.
Hello? 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 What kind of gag is this?
No gag at all, Mr. Clark.
Oh!
That'll take care of him long enough for me to straighten this all out. Honey, I want you to tell me the truth. You know what the truth is?
Of course I do, Daddy.
Then tell me quickly. That man who brought you here, is he your real daddy?
Oh, no. He's not my real daddy. Besides, I don't like him.
Well, come on, Janie. We're getting out of here right now. I hope that's Lieutenant Kling and Mrs. Haddon.
So, Holiday, you brought her back.
Yeah, I brought her back.
Oh, Janie, my baby.
Mommy!
I thought I'd lost you. I thought I'd never see you again. Mr. Holiday, I saw these people come in. Did you... Janie!
Mommy!
Janie!
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this?
These are my two mommies.
Holiday, would you mind explaining this little two-mother soiree you've cooked up?
Lieutenant, I think you'd better listen to what Mrs. Parker has to say.
I'd like to listen to anyone who can make sense out of this highly confusing little situation. Anyone but you, Holiday.
Thanks. Go on, Mrs. Parker. She's Janie's mother.
Well, then who are you, Mrs. Haddon?
Kling, let Mrs. Parker explain, will you?
Yes, please do, Mrs. Parker.
My husband's been dead for some time. I've been working out of town so I could take care of Janie. I placed her in a foundling home for the year I'd be gone. And I'm a foster mother, Lieutenant. The foundling home paid me to take care of Janie.
But you two have never met, eh?
That's right, Kling. Is it beginning to make sense?
No. If neither of these two ladies had the child, who did?
A man named Sam Parker, who turned out to be Sam Clark.
Holiday, will you cut that out?
Sam Clark is my husband's cousin. He's been trying to take Janie away from me legally.
That bothers me, Mrs. Parker. Why would he do that?
Because there's an inheritance coming to her from her grandparents. He hopes to prove me negligent and get her custody. That way he can control the estate.
And that's where I came.
You see, I took Janie from Mrs. Hatton's house. I wanted to hide her. I read Mr. Holiday's ad. I gave her to him.
You gave her a child, a Holiday? Oh, lady, you didn't know what you were doing.
No, just to keep until it was safe, until I could get matters straightened out with the court.
Well, now I'm beginning to see the light. You satisfied, Mrs. Hatton?
Of course. I'd never try to keep Janie from her mother.
Thank heaven for that. So I guess it's all wound up, eh, Holiday?
Oh, no. Not yet. There's more.
Holiday, if you've got one more ramification up that sleeve of yours...
I can hardly get Sam Clark up my sleeve. But I've got a hunch he should be here any minute.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Answer the door, Holiday.
I'd suggest a gun in your hand, Lieutenant.
Gun? What for?
Oh, don't ask silly questions. Come in, Mr. Clark.
Get your hands up. We've got something to settle.
Meet Lieutenant Kling of the police department.
What? No! Oh.
That's a nice right you've got, Holiday. Pick up his gun.
Thanks, Lieutenant. It's a pleasure.
Mr. Holiday, how can I ever thank you?
Very easily. Just bring little Janie up to see me occasionally.
I certainly shall.
Oh, by the way, I have a suggestion for you two ladies. I think I know how you can both keep Janie.
But how? What do you mean, Mr. Holiday?
Suppose you, Mrs. Parker, continue with your work. Janie could stay at Mrs. Hatton's, and so could you.
Oh, Mrs. Parker, if you only would.
I think that's simply wonderful.
Mommy.
Yes?
He fixed it so I can keep my tool, Mommy, didn't he?
Yes, he did, darling.
And would you be my real daddy?
Well, now, Janie, you see, it's like this.
Let's see you get out of that holiday.
And would you tell me a fairy story?
Oh, no, you don't catch me on that one. I'll write you one.
Mr. Holliday, I think you ought to know that... Oh, what a cute little girl. Who are you, little girl?
I'm Janie, and this is my daddy.
Why, Mr. Holliday, you never told me.
Now, look, Susie, Janie means I'm her daddy. Well, just sort of imaginary.
What's imaginary about being a father?
Sit down, Susie. I'll tell you all about it. I'm going to tell you a story.
Boy, oh boy, I'll bet this is going to be good.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. This is a Mayfair production.
All right, that is Box 13 with the Double Mothers from October 10th, 1948, starring Alan Ladd, also in the cast Sylvia Picker, and Vern Carstensen doing the directing, producing on that. And you know what? Alan Ladd had a production company called yes. Mayfair Productions, and this was produced under his production company. So he was the producer of this show. He also produced the Damon Runyon Theater, which was another really cool show. We've played those before. Yes. And Alan Ladd liked to write these episodes. A lot of times he would write these Box 13 episodes, and he would do it under an assumed name. He didn't say written by Alan Ladd. So he was a very modest person.
Like you.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio.